And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." This is God's word. Would you join me as we pray? Father, in so many ways we have heard this morning the declaration of the truth of this scripture, that Jesus Christ has come into the world. We have heard it sung, Father. We've heard it read from your word. We've heard the children declare it, Father. This morning we've heard, Father, the glad tidings of peace that has come to this world, but only through knowing the one who is the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we come to this time and worship, we have once again another way to declare your coming, and that is, Father, through our giving, so that the word, the good news of Christ, can go out to all the world, that the light that has shined here may shine in the darkness, Father, that you might be made known to all men. Father, to that end, we pray that you would bless this gift, these gifts, this tithe, these tithes, this offering, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. The census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Such a simple story. You know, the amazing thing that we take for granted these days is that Matthew is the only one who told that story. Matthew is the only gospel that describes the simplicity of the fact when God's Son was born. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God chose to use one of the gospel writers to remind us this is a story of great simplicity, and yet it is the most profound event that has ever happened in human history? And God chose John to tell that story. The passage we read together a few moments ago reminds us that when Christ came to earth, it was not only about a baby born in Bethlehem and a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, but it was about the fact that God sent his Son, the Son of Heaven, to come and save the world. Over this year, we have been asking some questions together, going through that old song, haven't we? Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the song of what God has done? A song that began with Isaiah and found its completion in the coming of Jesus. Do you see what I see? Can you see with the eyes of Christmas? Through the eyes of the shepherd, through the eyes of this couple chosen to raise the Son of God. Do you know what I know? That all of it is true. And this morning on Christmas Eve, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ, we come to my very favorite verse of that old song, where the Bible says, said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light." Listen to what I say. Listen to what I say. And this morning I say to you, listen to what I say on this day before we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Listen to what I say before we gather tonight to share in communion together and worship. Listen to what I say. That's what I want to challenge you to do this morning. Listen to what I say. Not because I am anything important, not because my message will be anything unique, but because the message itself is just so vital. Listen. Because what I say is the reason we celebrate the birth of Jesus. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us three simple things that we need to know with all of our hearts. So listen to what I say. And the first thing I want to say is simply this. God came. Listen to what I say. God came. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh. The Word. What did John mean when he called Jesus the Word? The Word was Christ, the only begotten Son of God. But understand this, when the Bible describes Jesus as the Word, it is not referring to Jesus who was born in a manger, who walked across Judea, and who died on a cross. Not the earthly Jesus that we remember all of those facts about. John was referring to the eternal Christ, who made heaven and earth. The Word. Long before he was in this world, he was the Word. Listen to what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Do you understand that? The Bible is saying at Christmas we celebrate the coming of the Word of God. Not one individual born at one particular time to be in the midst of one particular group of people and leave one particular message behind. We are talking about the living Word of God. The Bible says before creation, Jesus was already the living Word. Not only that, John reminds us that everything in existence is covered with his fingerprints. Look around yourself this morning. Look at the people gathered around you. Every one of them a special creation touched by the fingerprints of God. Look at the pew you're sitting on, the building you're in the midst of, the world that you'll walk out into. Every bit of it, an act of his creation. Just this morning, Jim Thorington and I were talking before the service about the unique ability of God to create everything in a special way. And Jim was talking about the fact that, you know, one side of your face is different from the other side of your face because God made it that way. When we say, are you getting my good side? It's a real thing. Except for those of us who have no good side. Not only that, but you go down to the very cellular level of existence, and every cell is uniquely created. Who did that? The Word. The Word. The living Word of God. What does it mean to say the Word became flesh? It means God came. God came. Not some of him, all of him. Not part of the way, all of the way. He came to dwell among us. The Bible is saying when that baby was born in a manger, it was the Word. To celebrate Christmas is to remember more than just the story of Joseph and Mary and the journey to Bethlehem. It's more than a baby in a manger and a star in the sky. Listen to what I say. The Creator of everything came to our dark and broken world to seek and to save that which was lost. Never forget the reason we celebrate Christmas. It is because Almighty God looked down on a world that deserved nothing and gave everything. He looked down on a planet that was filled with selfishness and sin, and he sent the very one who could redeem and save. The story of the coming of the Word is the story of how much God loved us. He came to us so he could save us. He came to shine his light into our darkness. The Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overcome it. Listen, God came. But that's not all. Not only did God come, but God became. God became. He became one of us. In Bethlehem, Jesus was born to be just like us. The Bible says the Word became flesh. And that's a very common word. That's the same kind of word that you would use to describe the meat that you're going to eat at lunch today. Very common, flesh, this is it. No different from anybody else, no different from anything else. The eternal Word of God became flesh. The very skin and bone that we are made out of. When Jesus came as the child of a virgin, he completely took on human life. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the eternal Word became Emmanuel, God with us. He was altogether God, and yet he was equally altogether us. How do you explain that? What can you compare that to? Nothing. Nothing. Because never before and never since in history has anything like this happened. Absolutely God. Absolutely us. How do we know that's true? Because that's what the Bible tells us. The Word became flesh. And Jesus is the one and only Son of God and Son of Man. In Jesus, God completely closed the gap between him and ourselves. John 1:11 says it this way. It says he came into his own. We live in an incredible age, an age of instant communication. You know, these days, as you watch the way people can communicate with one another, when you can pick up your phone and talk to somebody on the other side of the planet, and you look at one another face to face, and you communicate, and you can go almost anywhere and talk to almost anybody, you can't help but think about those times past, like in the days of the Second World War, when people would write letters to the soldiers they loved, and the soldiers write letters back home, and it would be weeks, maybe months, before that news would be exchanged, and there was all that time of silence. But now it's instant. Now it's instant. And the temptation when you can sit down before a phone or a tablet and you can talk to someone face to face, even though they're hundreds, thousands of miles away, is to say to yourself, you know, it's just like being there. When you can look at one another and talk to one another and the communication is instantaneous, it's just like being there, except it's not. The only thing that is like being there is being there. And as long as you're not really there, something is still missing. You can talk, but you can't touch. You can't watch those expressions closely. You can't communicate and share a meal and love one another, and do the things you can only do when you're absolutely present with each other. The story of Christmas is the story of the Son of God coming all the way down. To live like we live, to breathe like we breathe, to eat what we eat, to care like we care. Jesus came to walk in our ways, to share our sorrows, to bear our burdens, to forgive our sins. Unless he became flesh, he could not do what the Father sent him to do. Unless he became flesh, he could not become that perfect sacrifice. Jesus could not give his life a ransom for any and be one step removed from us. So he came all the way. Christmas is about his birth, but the manger always lies in the shadow of the cross. Why was Jesus born to die? Because he came into his own. And in his coming was an act of love, God's love. So John says he came, and then John says he became. And then John says this, and we are witnesses. John says we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is John saying? He's saying we saw it for ourselves. In 1 John, the apostle elaborates on what that meant. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. We're witnesses. We were there. We experienced it. It's real. This year, if you're going to experience Christmas, the reality of Christmas, not the observance of the day, not the things that may go on around it, maybe not even the worship services that you're a part of, if it's going to be real, it's going to be because it's real to you. For John, the life of Christ was not something he had heard about. It was something he had witnessed for himself. It was the most personal experience of his life. And that's the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is that Jesus not only came to save a lost and dying world, but he came to each of us to offer everlasting life. Every year, people come to Christmas asking the same question, what will I do with Jesus? What will I do with Jesus? I was driving down the road yesterday, listening to my radio, getting in all the Christmas music I can get in before it goes away for another year. And I listened to a singer, a well-known singer, who was singing the song Silent Night. And trying to do it without any spiritual connotation. Every time they came to Jesus, they changed the word. Every time the words, every time they came to a reference about his divinity, they made it something sentimental. And I listened as a song died. That person had made a decision, I'm going to do something with Jesus. I'm going to set him to the side. He has no place in my life. And we think, what is this world coming to? How can people act that way in a day and time like this? Well, let me tell you the truth. It's nothing new. Listen to what John said. John said he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. And every Christmas, people come to that decision, what am I going to do with Jesus? And every year, people make the decision for themselves. And some will choose to ignore him, and some will choose to neglect him, and some will choose to reject him. But some will choose to receive him. And he will change eternity in their lives. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. So listen to what I say. Listen hard. Listen as though your life depended upon it, because it does. Jesus came. God came down. Jesus became. The Word became flesh. We are witnesses. He came into his own. He came to save you. And anybody who will believe, not believe about him, but believe into him. to trust Him as Savior, to bring your sins before Him and let Him wash them away, to know that the one who was born in Bethlehem will be the one who gave His life away on a cross, who rose to be the eternal Savior of the world, who will come again to receive His own. And this Christmas we celebrate His birth, but more than that, we celebrate His life. And even more than that, we celebrate His saving power. So my question this morning is simply this: for you in your life, in your heart of hearts, what will you do with Jesus? Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a believer. Maybe you kind of believe around the edges, you know, you believe the facts and you can tell the story and you know all of that. But if anybody ever asked you, have you ever had a saving personal encounter with Christ, you would have to say, nothing like that has ever happened to me. No greater experience could take place in your life than before you leave today for you to have a personal, heart-to-heart, life-changing encounter with Jesus. So this morning, before I step down from this pulpit and before we go to all of the places that we're to be this Christmas Eve, I'm just going to invite you to bow your heads with me, and I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you've never prayed this prayer, you pray it for yourself, and your eternity can be forever changed. Let's bow together. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, on this Christmas Eve morning, gathered in the sanctuary of this church, we celebrate the fact that the Son of God came to earth. We're grateful for all of the stories about Christmas, about Bethlehem and about the shepherds and about the wise men and all of those things that are a part of the Christmas tale. But Father, most of all, we are grateful that you came to save. We're grateful that we are invited to experience your salvation in a personal way. Father, this morning, if someone's in this room, not a Christian, help them to pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know you came to save me. I know that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. I know that I am struggling to find hope in the midst of a hopeless life, truth in the midst of a world of lies, eternal life when time seems to be passing away so quickly. And I know I can only find that in Jesus. So this morning, I believe. I invite you into my heart. I ask you to take control of my life. I ask you to give me the gift that can only come from your hands, everlasting life. And I thank you, Lord, that you have promised in your word that if I call out to you, you will never cast me out. So, Father, having prayed this prayer sincerely, I know that right now I am a follower of Jesus. Help me to learn and to know what it means to live for you. And I thank you for what you've done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time in your life, in just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and I'm going to be here at one aisle, and Rich is going to be at the other, and we would love to talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We would love for you to become part of this fellowship called First Baptist Church, where you can grow in Him and know Him better. So when we sing our invitation hymn, I just invite you to come forward and we'll be glad to talk with you more about this decision that you've made. Or maybe you're here today and you need that church family as a believer, and you know God is leading you to First Baptist. This is a place that's going to love you and care about you and teach you and worship with you. And maybe you need to come and plant your membership here. Maybe there's another personal decision that you need to make as a believer. Maybe it's something you need to talk to about one of us. Maybe you need to take advantage of the altar. Is there a decision you need to make? Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation hymn. Will you join me?